Let's go to Ukraine and reporter Joseph Lindsley. And Joseph, I hope Monday today has been calm compared to the last few. How you doing there?
Hey, Bob. Yeah, good morning from to you all. Good afternoon from Kyiv. As the light already declines here at 3:20 in the afternoon. Yeah, it's been calm this Monday, and it's a strange feeling. You know, you wake up now in Ukraine, especially in the major cities, on Mondays, prepared for strikes. You're prepared for, you know, for the worst. And then it's been quiet. And so you, by midday, you start to relax a bit and you say, maybe today is going to be fine. This can really mess with your mind. And you have to, as I've discussed with so many Ukrainians here, you have to detach yourself from that fear and from the unknown. And still, despite the fact there have been no strikes here in Kyiv today, there's still a rolling blackouts. This is, I think, going to be a problem, you know, for the next months. Wi-Fi sometimes doesn't work for blocks at a time. I was talking with a clerk in a shop, and she's been for 5 days last week. She took IOUs from customers, which is a sign of, you know, the lack of the access to infrastructure, but also the sign of how people trust each other in this time. And for example, you know, and when I was in Kharkiv last week and here in Kyiv, every night, you know, and as the days are getting shorter, there's no streetlights. It's especially dark in Kharkiv, but fairly dark here in Kyiv. And, you know, I think in any American city or probably anywhere, most places in the world, if you turned off the lights, you'd be afraid to walk in those streets. There's no sense of that whatsoever. As long as there's not an air alarm, you know, you can walk in total pitch black darkness. You feel like you're in the wilderness. People walk with flashlights, but there's no fear that you might get mugged or robbed or something horrible would happen. Such is the sense of trust and solidarity of the people here.
It's really impressive, your stories of the character of the people there in Ukraine. What about the story that there might be an evacuation there? Headlines this morning, Kyiv prepares for a winter with no heat, water, or power. What are you hearing about that?
You know, well, when I arrived, I took the train yesterday from Kharkiv. And by the way, the side note here, the trains, it's amazing how they continue to function. And today, the chief of Ukrainian Railways posted on Twitter that they've sort of went into storage and got old locomotives, steam-powered locomotives, and they are they're preparing to bring these back into operation. So with trains from, you know, before the 1950s, and they're ready to use these steam locomotives should the rail infrastructure lose its electricity. But when I arrived in Kyiv, the big news was yesterday afternoon. I was meeting with a friend in a darkened, powerless coffee shop, and Mayor Klitschko, you know, the former world champion boxer who's now mayor of Kyiv, he said it's possible that all 3 million people in Kyiv might have to leave this winter. That's very extraordinary. So I was asking people, what do you make of that? And the sense I got from most people is that he was exaggerating because he doesn't want, for example, Ukrainians who are currently abroad, who so desperately want to come back home, he doesn't want to encourage them. He wants to make it very clear how serious and difficult this winter is going to be, and does not want to encourage people to return home, you know, if they can be somewhere else safely. So that's the sense I got, because I, you know, no one here could fathom that you could actually evacuate the whole city, and if you did, that would be giving up the city in a way. You know, for example, you know, we've seen like the city of Bakhmut, which was 70,000 people before the war, which the Russians have, you know, diabolically continued to pound, including today. That city's been evacuated. You know, Ukraine has, you know, there's hardly anyone left, and the authorities have said, you know, you have to call that a loss for now so we can protect other things. But to abandon the capital would be a huge loss. And so I don't think he means that seriously. And you see, for example, you know, the power could go out in any block at any time. They try to notify people. And so, you know, a lot of people live in high-rise buildings in Kyiv, and so you take elevators. Some people are taking the stairs now to go up 15 flights, but, you know, not everyone can do that. And so in many elevators in residential buildings, people leave a care package. They leave a folding chair. They leave a bag of food and water, maybe a book to read, maybe even some strong drink. And this is I have many friends there who've been stuck 3 or 4 times in the past weeks in the elevator, and they just roll with it. You know, they said, this is part of our resistance. This is part of the fight. And they sort of cheerfully take this on.
It seems like since the Russian army hasn't had that much success against the Ukraine army, that the strategy now from Putin is to hurt the citizens and then put pressure on President Zelensky to have some kind of peace talk. Is that your understanding of what was going on?
Yeah, exactly. And I think, well, you know, there's two major strands of Putin's propaganda, especially when the propaganda that's directed toward Europe and America. One is to convince people that somehow Ukraine is some kind of collapsed, horrible state, which actually is what Russia is. And it's a bait and switch. And unfortunately, he's convinced, a portion of the American electorate of this idea. But then the second thing, for those who do believe in Ukraine and believe in this is a free country worth, and people who have been unjustifiably attacked, his propaganda is succeeding a little bit in scaring them with these nuclear threats, with the threats of his, alleged overpowering might. And, in the beginning of the war, many analysts said, oh, the first thing Putin's going to do is attack Ukraine's infrastructure. Why did he wait so long for this? And the thinking now is that he thought he was going to be able to overtake this country. Ukraine has amazing infrastructure, whether it's the railways or the power grid or the nuclear plants. He wanted to have that for himself. But now that he's realized that he can't, now he's willing to take it to the next level. It's meant to terrorize the Ukrainian people, and it's meant to wear down the West, especially as we look at the elections coming up in America. People are, I read accounts of people who are tired of the war of Ukraine in America, but it is a little bit more tiring to be here under shelling and constant threats of rockets.
I'm just glad to hear that, unlike the last few Mondays, there is some peace and quiet for you there today, Joseph.
Yeah, you really appreciate that time more. You have to, and maybe I didn't appreciate it enough today, but as we talk about it now, I think I didn't go running today. Well, I should have, because I had the free space to do so. And so it's a reminder to, when we have these moments to use it well.
We'll talk tomorrow. Hopefully things stay peaceful for you, Joseph. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob.